This is the Celebrity Authority Show. Please welcome your host, Sam Corthell.
Hello, welcome to another awesome show here. We have Dana Molkova here in the studio. Dana, you're a thought leader and also a speaker in management and leadership. More than ever today, we need greater management and leadership in our organizations. Would you agree?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I've been working in the field of management consulting for the last 12 plus years. And this is exactly what I learned. We have always room for improvement. And I've been an employee and I've been the consultant helping managers improve the organization of their departments. And I've seen how better organizational design can help leaders implement better leadership practices.
Yeah.
So that's basically what I'm about.
Dana, first of all, let's go back. Clearly you have an accent. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Czechoslovakia, which now is Czech Republic or Czechia.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned this because I basically shouldn't be here. When I was born in a country where it would be very difficult to actually travel outside from the country. And despite that, you know, I'm here in Sydney talking to you, which is just extraordinary.
And how long ago did you make that transition to Australia?
I came to Australia 6 years ago, straight to Sydney, and I'm just loving
it. And why? Why Sydney? Why did you decide to come to Australia?
So it was a job opportunity within a company I was already working for. And I wanted to experience living and working abroad. And when I came, I originally thought it will be a very easy transition because it's, you know, kind of similar Western culture. My job was plus minus with a few more responsibilities the same. And then what I didn't expect was that the transition and the cultural change was much more difficult to handle.
Yeah.
And I didn't have back then the tools to actually manage sustainably through the transition and afterwards.
Yeah. So Dana, what exactly are you doing now in the field of management and leadership, and what do you love about it?
Okay. So I mentioned that when I came to Australia, I found about myself that I'm lacking some skills. It was a different mindset that I brought, and it wasn't the most efficient mindset for the culture and the business culture here in Australia or Asia Pacific region. And I was working already in the field of organizational design, business processes, you know, improving business performance and the environments of other companies. And I could see how over the course of sometimes a couple of years, or it might be like 1 year plus, we could get a department from a team of people who were complaining about uncooperative colleagues, who felt unsupported and who were struggling, into really happy, content individuals who felt well supported at work while not even noticing it. So I was doing these maturity assessments, and I would come to a company and, you know, collect this information. I had one-on-one interviews with people, so they were very, very honest in these interviews. I really appreciated that. And the original ones were, there is this and that much room for improvement. And then I came 2 years later, and they didn't even realize how much happier they were and how much more supported they felt. So I knew I had the tools to improve this for others in other companies, but I couldn't help myself back then. And I thought, wow, I need to learn something in addition to this. So it's not only the company supporting their employees and investing in maybe the consultants like myself, but it's also the individual mindset. And that's how I got into the field of neurolinguistic programming and neurosemantics. And I really transformed my mindset. I had to. It felt a little bit like a matter of survival back then.
So you've transformed yourself to now help employees transform themselves as well, so they can be more productive, so they can create greater performance. Is that right?
Yes, that's very correct. And what I believe is that it's not just one individual's job, because you as an individual, of course, you have this impact, and you can drive a change, you can role model a change. We always are role modeling whatever we are embodying anyway, but that goes just so far. And if the system, if the structure of the company and the systems which are put in place are supportive of such changes and more let's say growth mindset based approaches, it can go much further, and the change might be much faster and much more transformative.
So what are some of the barriers that you're currently seeing with our leaders today? Is it their mindset of not embracing the change is easy, or is it more the stress and the heaviness and the weight that they're carrying within? What would you say would be some of the greatest barriers that you're seeing with our executives and our leaders in today's world?
So you named a few things. When I was, I spent a lot of time thinking about it and researching.
Yeah.
And in the end, one of the basic principles that I learned from my NLP trainings and which I really live by day to day is all of us are doing our best. And that's really, really important to recognize. So even when you are dealing with somebody and you think, oh my gosh, they are really not a good employee, they are not a good leader, they are not a good manager, they are doing their best.
Yep.
And it might be that they are not supported themselves and they are doing their best to be the best in their roles. But if there are not the right motivational systems, bonus schemas in place to drive the most efficient behavior, and if there are not enough systems in place to support even the daily tasks, you know, and reporting, if it takes you half a day to fill in a report instead of just punching in, you know, three pieces of information which some automated system just takes and processes, it makes a big difference. And the mindset, you know, when you mentioned, you know, the like resistance to change is our natural trait as human beings.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with it. We tend to stay in our comfort zones, but it's really important that leaders today have the growth mindset and understand that if they have an employee or team member in their team who might not be performing like at their expectations, to give such an employee a chance and provide support if they, of course, have the resources. And that's the key.
And that support is more personal development or coaching, or because if they're trying their best, then clearly in order for their best to become better, they need education and personal development and coaching and mentoring. That's why it's so important, to have consultants like yourself see the barriers, encourage them for their own growth mindset. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. And of course, it's really important that the leaders have this education and this understanding. And also, there is one theme that I actually, when I was doing all my research and all my processing of the findings, it really came down to the topics of love and fear. And now this might sound very like woo-woo for, you know, management consulting, like we are serious and about numbers. But at the same time, every decision every leader is making and every employee is making is either made in the essence, in the spirit of like love, like embracing what is and taking it to somewhere else where I want to go and where somebody else is maybe directing me to go and I feel comfortable to go, or based on fear, based on fear of, oh my gosh, if I don't do this, this will happen, I'll lose my job, we won't make our sales quota. And it makes a big difference, the intention with which we come into every single decision. It multiplies over time. And the compound effect is just, it makes the difference between those companies which survive and thrive and those companies who struggle.
Yeah, Dana, very, very quickly, I remember seeing reading something about you around the Blue Heart business. Tell us more about what exactly is a Blue Heart?
Okay, so the Blue Heart business concept is something I developed based on my experience in this organizational design, business process management, enterprise architecture management, like consulting field, combined with my personal experience of the transformation I experienced from changing my mindset through things like neuro-linguistic programming, neurosemantics, but also doing like physical exercises, practices like yoga and tai chi and qigong, which because we when we move, our brain is changing as well.
There was a moment when that Blue Heart started. Where was that?
Yeah, so at some low point in my life, when I was really struggling to cope with all the changes in my life moving to Australia, I was walking on a sidewalk close to where I live, and I saw this huge Blue Heart drawn in chalk on the sidewalk, and it was such an encouraging message. I took it as a sign of hope, and for me now, the Blue Heart stands for unconditional love. So it's about like doing the right thing, regardless in every situation, choosing the love, whatever decision you are making. And it might be a business decision for your company, if you are a leader or if you are an employee, making sure that you feel comfortable with it. And for me, it's also a lot about the basic faith and trust in myself. And that I believe that enables us to act from the place of love and Blue Heart.
So there you go, a Blue Heart business. What do we need to do to become a Blue Heart business? I love that. Hey, Dana, thank you so much for joining us here in the Celebrity Authority Show. But however, just before you go, we have a challenge, and we do this for every guest that comes in, and the challenge is the 10 question in 60 second challenge. So Dana, do you accept the challenge?
I do.
Great, all right. Dana, your time starts now. Favorite color?
It's red, despite the concept is Blue Heart.
Favorite food?
Watermelon.
Watermelon. Favorite celebrity?
A favorite celebrity, Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah, she's amazing.
She's so exciting.
Favorite actor?
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, oh, he's hilarious. Favorite professional speaker?
It will be you, and if we went in the field of public speaking, it would be Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Wayne Dyer, he's awesome. Favorite book?
The Alchemist, Paulo Coelho. Oh, absolutely Coelho transformed my thinking.
Totally in my top five as well. Mm-hmm. Favorite movie?
That will feel a bit teenagerish, Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing? No, that's not teenager at all.
I love awesome ballroom dancing.
Favorite city?
Sydney. And I'm very fortunate to be here.
I totally agree. I'm with you there. Favorite drink?
It's chai rooibos tea with oat milk.
With oat milk. There you go. Favorite pizza topping?
Some vegan thing.
Some vegan. And Dana, if you could be an animal, which animal would you be?
I would be a cat, and probably I would want to be the wild cat, which is like a really, really different species. I've been to South Africa, and I saw the actual wild cats. They are like three times the size of a normal cat, and they are like really wild.
Dana, thank you so much for joining us here at the Celebrity Authority Show. Well done.
It was a pleasure.
Hey. That's right.
Thank you.